Would you like to stand for a moment? If you want, yes, yeah, stand for a moment. And if you don't want to, that's okay. You had a long day, but turn to your neighbor and just say, Leslie's a good singer. Yes, well. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for your prayers. You may be seated. Thank you, yeah. And a group of us went to Finland this past week, and thank you for your prayers. It was just over the top. We had a absolutely rich time, beautiful. By the lake in the countryside, sauna was packed with 20, 30 young men. Maybe that's exaggerated. In the lake, yeah, at night, at midnight, 1 in the morning, I think it ended. Raps, talks, cakes, cookies, I mean, cakes and coffee, eating 3 times a day, pastor's meetings, prayer meetings at 7:30 in the morning at the lake, at the pier, sausage, makara, they call it, sausage over the fire, young people listening. Pastor Matti came from the north, and some Americans came, and Swedish, some French people wandered in. You know, 6 or 7 of them came up from Paris and didn't wander, but they just were just filled with joy. And we had Pastor Toll from Sweden, rich time. But I kind of got the sense that this was happening all over. In Budapest, with Camp Life Europe, 130 young people, with Pete Westera, Seth and Sam and Bree and many others that were on the team. In Russia, St. Petersburg, they had a conference, and I was on the phone with them and shared a short message with them. That was rich. Kaliningrad, Pastor Gary Grunwald in Poland. He also went to the Ukraine, to Lviv. Pastor Boyce in the Czech conference and the Polish conference, and so a lot is happening. And I believe it is our prayers that really are being answered, and I'm very thankful for that. And for you, all of us here that are living by faith and learning the Word and walking by faith and God's love. Thank you for that. I'd like to share with you a Psalm 38. I think the first part is, I'm going to look at my time here. My first part is in James, so let's start there. James 1. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations. Count it all joy when you fall into various temptations. So we see life is like this. There's trouble. John 16:33. There's trouble, all kinds, different kinds of trouble in life. Do you count it joy in our trouble? Do you count it joy in your trouble? And usually we would say no. Yeah, it really hurts me, discourages me. I struggle with it. I don't really like it. But here he's saying no. You look at it a different way. This life is short. We're on our way to heaven. While we are here on the earth, We are learning. We are in school. You could say that my trouble in life is part of my schooling. I am learning something. Look at verse 3. The trying, knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience. Well, what's the value of patience? It is valuable. It has value to it, patience. That's maybe a message in itself, but just think about it and remember that. It also works, verse 4, patience has her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Like that sounds like satisfaction. The patience will lead you in learning and growing, and you will find yourself satisfied. So I don't want to lose you in this, but I want to, maybe we could draw it like here's a man in like maybe two levels. One is the trouble, and this is the trouble, and the other one is God, who is in a way above the trouble, beyond the trouble, behind the trouble, and he's also in you. God is in you. We know that. Galatians 2:20 and many Bible verses, we know Christ dwells in us. Well, then what's the point? I am learning. Maybe that's all that we want to say tonight, but we'll say it. It'll take a long time, but that's what we want to say. I mean, we'll say, really, the message isn't over, but I just told you the whole message. Yeah, it's like school, learning. We are learning. And be patient. And learn, and you're growing. Because we're going to a world where there is no devil, there is no death, there is no fear. We're going there. And it's over as far as this life goes. But while we are here, count it, there's something honorable about the fact that we have trouble in this life. I know that sounds maybe, you may not believe me, but let's keep going here. So then the satisfaction, verse 4, then verse 5, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. All right, so that's the, I think that's where we'll end in this text here, wisdom. So we have patience, then we have satisfaction, and we have wisdom. Let's put down here. We learn patience. We are satisfied. We don't lack anything. Satisfaction. I'm writing with my finger, so it doesn't look good. It wouldn't look good if I was writing with a pen. Patience, satisfaction, and wisdom. And wisdom. Okay. All right. Now, go to Psalm 38 with me, and let me break this down for you. Can you follow this with me, verse by verse? It takes a little bit of patience, but let's look at it. Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath, verse 1, neither chasten me in your hot displeasure. Translation, I feel that God is... He's after me. He's smiting me. I feel that God is chastening me. I feel that God is somehow against me. I feel that things aren't working well. And so he's praying a prayer. Lord, be easy on me. Take it easy on me. I got stuff going on. It's too much for me. It's too much for me. Verse 2. For your arrows stick fast in me. Your hand presses me sore. That's the idea. The first section of verses here, this is the idea. It's hard. Verse 3. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger. Translation, I am physically sick. I've got something oozing. I've got a bloody flux, or I have an infection or drainage that is happening out of my body. I am sick because of God. That's what he's saying. Because of you. You are angry with me. Because you're angry with me. That's what he's saying. Verse 4. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. I'm sorry, did I miss it? No, verse 3b. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head. So a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. You know, you could think of some disease that you might get because of foolishness. Because of my sexual promiscuity, or because of my bad habits, or because of things that I have done. This is a really bad psalm. But it's good that it's there, because that's what we need to learn. If you look at our diagram, the trouble in life is not greater than God. And that God who dwells in you is going to teach you. He is going to teach you. He's going to help you. Look at the next part. It says, verse 6, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. There is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. I have a piece here from Timothy Keller, and he says about these verses, here there is guilt as well as sickness. The illness is linked to the psalmist's sin in some way, either as the physical effects of a tortured conscience, or as a result of some foolish behavior, or as a messenger sent to humble the psalmist and bring him to his senses about the way he is living. This illness, in turn, has isolated him from friends and given his opponents an opportunity to move against him. So he is suffering from guilt, bodily pain, and injustice. Suffering often comes in such overwhelmingly complex compounds that the only solution is to simply call out to God himself to forgive, protect, and heal. Reading this the other day, it ministered a lot to me, because I realized one thing. It's not how I feel. It's the fact that I believe God. I trust God. That's an honor, that we trust God, that we believe God, that God is the God that will help me. I don't have anybody else to help me. I have only God that can help me. And in a way, it's like clean. It's pure, because I don't have anything but God. Isn't that beautiful? Let's read the rest of it. It says, Verse 9. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my groaning is not hid from you. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of my eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. So you have lovers, friends, and family members, and they kind of don't want to be with you. So that's a great suffering, the loneliness and the isolation. But what did James say? Count it all joy when you fall into these various trials. What an attitude that is. And is that real? Can I really live like that? when I find myself in a lot of trouble, I'm not actually at the moment, but I am like to think about it and to think about what the psalmist is saying, that how can I consider the trouble that I find myself in life as a tool that God uses to work in my heart and teach me not to live by bread alone, but to live by every word that comes from God's mouth, which we heard in that song that Martin Luther had written 500 years ago. Look at verse 12. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. That might happen to you. That might happen to us. That happened to Christ. That might be part of our training. That might be part of our development. Look at that list up there. When this works in us patience, and then there is a satisfaction that comes from God and a wisdom. What an amazing combination of words that we gain when we seek God, when we find God. What is God? God is wise. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Isn't he the one that satisfies us, and at his right hand our pleasures forevermore? Hasn't he sent the Holy Spirit into the world to be our comforter? Isn't he the one that said that in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world? Doesn't he fill us? There's another part here too. I don't want to get off, but I think I can just plug it in here. It's this phrase, verily, verily, I say unto you. Do a little study on that in the Gospel of John. Verily, verily, I say unto you. What it means is, yes, it's a guarantee. It's an assured word. It's not a question. It's not up for a contest. It can't be disputed. It's something like God leaning in and Jesus saying, listen to me, I guarantee you, it's for sure. There's no question about it. I am God incarnated, bringing into the world something very sure for you. Verily, verily unto you. I mean, these things are sure. They are not contested. They are not 99%. They are full-blown guarantees. The reality of truth, it's not relative truth. It's absolute truth. Yes, verily, verily, I say to you. This is what we need when we are in trouble. We need a transcendent word, a word of God from God's heart, God's mouth, God's spirit, that is able to build us up, that is able to speak to us and get us rooted and grounded in God. That's what we see with Jesus in Gethsemane, when his world is shaken, but he will live and die in faith, trusting his Father. And that's a model for us. Okay, here's the last part. It says, verse 13, but I as a deaf man heard not, and I was as a dumb man that opens not his mouth. Now here's the thing that happens to us. When we are in trouble like this, it's so easy to talk. When you and I, when we find ourselves in trouble, it's so easy to talk. And it's so easy to complain, and it's so easy to cry out. It's so easy to talk and blame and accuse and so on. It's very easy and part of life for people. But not you and I. We're learning. We're learning how to relate to trouble. We're looking for help from God to be patient, to be satisfied, and to be wise. What do you mean? Well, Paul in prison was patient, satisfied, and wise. Well, what do you mean? Well, he wrote his letters from prison. Some of them. He wrote from prison. And you find that he's patient, satisfied, and wise. Where did he get that? He learns it. When we turn to God in our trouble, when we are trusting in him in whatever it is that we go through, he will fill us with his Spirit and give to us peace. I'm not saying the trouble goes away. I'm not saying that we like the trouble itself. I'm not saying that we wouldn't be screaming and wailing in some scenario of some kind. I'm not packaging it that way. I'm rather saying that I actually believe that God uses our life, in our life, whatever we go through. Remember this, that he has a way for us. Let's read it. So he's lost his friends and family members. They that seek my life, but I am a deaf man and I am a dumb man. I'm not talking. Thus I was as a man, verse 14, that hears not and in whose mouth are no reproofs. I'm not yelling at anybody. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just suffering. I just recognize this is how it is. I'm looking for God, verse 15. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. You will hear, O Lord, my God. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. You will hear, O Lord, my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slips, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt. I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to be finished. I'm ready to end it. My sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. That's one thing that suffering does. It brings us to before God, and I can confess my sin. And God is the God of all grace who cleanses us and helps us. And then we walk in it and we just find his joy. We find him and we walk together. But my enemies are lively, verse 19. They are strong. They that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are my adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. So there it is. I hope that you understand what I'm saying. A very simple message about life, that life is like this, and it's designed of God, and there's a plan in it. And every time when we are looking at it in some trial or some temptation or some challenging thing with relatives or my job situation or with my finances or whatever, you know, people and my country and whatever it might be, how good it is that we have somebody with all our hearts that we can turn to, with all our hearts, and to love him with all our hearts and our mind and our soul and strength. And he helps us. And so James said, just to repeat it, he said, really count it a privilege, count it a joy that this is in your life. And then he will make you the head and not the tail. You know, sometimes I have the idea of living by myself because I lost everything, lost my wife, my family, I lost everything, living somewhere, maybe homeless somewhere, and having absolutely nothing, and just feel very oppressed and very down. Just imagine how hard that would be. But this is in my heart what I believe, that Jesus doesn't make us the tail. He makes us the head. And no matter where you might find yourself one day, if you and I, we are trusting in God, that it is God, the Spirit of God, the mind of God, the heart of God, is works in us patience, satisfaction, and wisdom. And you become the head and not the tail. You have a Bible study, or you have a prayer meeting, or you go to the local church, and you look for God, and you read a book, and you love, and you give, and you serve. It's like never ending. This is the nature of God in us. No matter where we are, what we go through in our life, God never will fail you, never will forsake you, never will stop giving you promises and saying, all things work together for good. Trust me. Walk with me. You will find me. If you seek me, you will find me. If you knock, I will open. If you ask, I will answer you. I am God. I am not like in the world. I am God. And I am for you and not against you. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are well able. The thing is that when we are in pain and hurt, we don't turn to him. We go very loudly outward in the world that we live in. We go very vocal, very emotional sometimes, and we can't see it. But you are learning your Bible in such a way that it's imparted to you in your spirit, and you're believing that God is a living God, wise God, that he sent us into the world to learn. This is our school. He sent us into the world to suffer well. He sent us into the world to learn who he is and love him and embrace him and share him and live with him and bring the gospel to people that need it. Then their world will open up. Let me finish, close with this. Years ago, one of our former presidents was an alcoholic. He wasn't a president yet. He's 40 years old. He was an alcoholic, wealthy. He owned oil wells in Texas. His name was George Bush. George W., the son, if I got that right. Okay. There was Arthur Blessett in the stadium preaching. George W. Bush was up on the stadium. Did I get his name right, Phil? Yeah, okay. He's up in the stadium. His wife brought him. His wife kind of dragged him there. He didn't care about it. It happened. He heard. He heard he was born again. God gave him something. God gave him a new heart. God gave him motivation. He didn't care about anything. He had his money and his life, and he had everything he needed, and he was drinking all the time. But he didn't care about it. Now Christ came into his life. Come on. Amazing. He ran for governor. He became governor of Texas, I think, twice. Then president of the United States. Wow. Here's the point. Thank you, God. There's nothing greater than the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. And once saved, there's nothing greater in your life than to turn to God. There's nothing greater than to learn to turn to God in your heart. And say simple prayers and read the Bible slow and with words and in your prayers and spirit speak to you. And this psalm is saying, it's like a bad, it's like a disaster psalm. But then, like there at the end, it is, but you, God, I trust you, God. You are the answer for my life in my trouble. I trust you, God. There you go. If we could teach that to our kids, if we could live that way in our own lives, if we can share that in our church and churches wherever we go, if we can live like that in the good days and the bad days, then we'll be fine. God will take care of us, and we'll learn how to think with him and walk with him in a way that so much glorifies him. And then you'll be gone. You and I will fly away, and it's over. Never will we be in this world like this again. Never will we be living by faith like we are now. Never will we be suffering like we could be in this lifetime. That will be never again will that be happening to us. But while it is here, count it joy and learn to walk with God. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for these thoughts. Tonight with the open heart to God, then we pray for you to come to Jesus. And all you have to do in your heart is say to Jesus Christ, it's very simple, I ask you to save me. I ask you to come into my life. I'm putting my trust in you. I'm putting my trust in you. I can't put my trust in my money or my health or the things of this world. I put my trust in you, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Do it tonight. Anybody raise your hand? Yes to Jesus. Anybody? Yes to Jesus. I want Jesus in my life. Anybody? Raise your hand. You doing it? Anybody? Yes. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.